Hello, everybody. Welcome to the PDX Beat Podcast, the weekly culture show that keeps a finger on the pulse of all things Portland. I'm your host, Amada Lumba, and since we talked about dive bars in the previous episode, I thought we'd class it up a bit and chat about cocktail bars in this one. As a sort of part two from last week's episode, this one also features Nick Keen, local beverage consultant and bar manager. We'll hear what he has to say, but before we get into it, I'd like to warn the parents that sections of this episode contain strong language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. To start things off, I asked Nick to define a cocktail bar.
So cocktail bars take on many iterations. But it's really got the focus is about the drink first and foremost, but not so much, not leading the way so much that nothing is important, or nothing else is important. But obviously the quality and inventiveness of the cocktail, the vibe, the feel of the place, and I don't know if vibe, that can all fall, like, as far as like clientele and music and all that stuff, falls under that umbrella. So those two things make a cocktail bar.
I'm going to reference, for the purpose of this episode, an article that I found on the Oregonian, written by Michael Russell. He's a staff writer there. He posted this on August 26th and dubbed the article as the top 10 best cocktail bars.
Did he order these?
Let's just, for the purpose of this podcast, it's just a list, all right?
Okay, no particular order.
But we will start with Teardrop Cocktail, since you already said that. So okay. Teardrop is located in the Pearl District, Northwest 10th and Everett. Yeah. And according to this article, their signature drink is Teardrop's Piña Colada.
Yeah, and here's the funny, and here's, this is also what makes Teardrop really awesome. And kind of insufferable at the same time sometimes. It's available about a month and a half a year.
Okay.
Because they're such sticklers for perfection, they only do it with fresh... They only do it in the summertime. They don't use Coco Lopez, which is like this, you know, if you're not familiar, this canned coconut garbage, basically. But it's what you know is the flavor of coconut and drink, because it's what every 99.99% of bars use. You know, but Daniel and Sean at they're not happy. They're not good with that. They get coconuts, and they spend hours, maybe days, grinding them down and making their own version of Coco Lopez, this coconut milk sweetened condensed product that they then make a piña colada out of in their hyper nerdy, ridiculously over the top fashion. And if you think about the cost of ingredients and the labor and all the overhead that goes into this, I think the last time I had one was $12 piña colada there. You think $12 is expensive? I guarantee you they're not making a whole lot of money on it, if they are.
Sure.
But it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
And you see it in everything they do. You go in there and there's like a bajillion, that's code for like 100 maybe, tinctures and bitters that are made in-house. Most of them. Some of them aren't. But like, and a lot of these are made, and like how much time that takes.
Right.
And all the prep and everything. And you're sitting there on a Tuesday night having a drink, and there's eight people there. You look around, you go, they're not making any money tonight.
Right, right.
But then if you make the mistake sometimes of, I'm not saying it's a mistake, but it's definitely two different experiences. Of going on a Friday night when it's, you know, kids from the Burbs, Bridge and Tunnel crowd, in there, seeing how many Grey Goose and sodas with extra lime they can drink, you realize where they make their money and then where their passion lies.
Sure.
It's with the people that come in and seek it out and sit and revere what they're doing. And what they're doing is world class.
Right.
No doubt about it. You know, I've had drinks in probably 10 bars in this country that you pull anyone in this industry, they would all throw them in the top 10, and everybody's going to have their favorite. And I still say, I'm not trying to be a homer, but I still say Teardrop is easily top three for consistently leading the way.
Right on. So, to be fair, this article was written in the summer, so I think most of the signature drinks listed on this article are summer-based. So if you were to pick one cocktail from Teardrop Lounge that you would highlight and recommend, what would it be?
Dealer's Choice.
Dealer's Choice. All right.
Literally, those guys are so talented. They understand, you know, after they know you just a little bit, cursorily, I'm probably fucking that word up, but have a few drinks, let them just make you something, and you're just going to be blown away by, you know, the inventiveness and the nuance that they can just wing, you know, like, it's a hell of a breeding ground for talent.
Another bar that ended up on this list is Clyde Common on 10th and Stark in downtown Portland. Okay. The signature drink listed here is the OG, which is a barrel-aged Negroni, a mellow take on the classic Campari cocktail.
Clyde Common is very, very popular. Clearly a restaurant first. I would love to see their numbers break down. I bet you it's 50-50 in the bar. Like, every restaurant in this town, in the world, would love to have their breakdown of spirits and drink sales to food sales.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way towards... It's as close to 50-50 as I've ever seen in a quote-unquote restaurant.
Sure.
So, yeah, I see why they're on the best bar list. You know, the barrel-age thing, I got a problem with, sticking something in a barrel. Like... a cocktail, a whole cocktail, especially with vermouth. If you have any knowledge of what vermouth is, which is an aromatized, fortified wine, it's wine, first and foremost, and it oxidizes and gets bitter, not in a good way, and it really gets bad. And to purposely age it, I never understood the barrel-aged thing. I've never had a barrel-aged version of a drink that was demonstrably better than a really well-made version of it, not barrel aged.
Yeah.
So as much as I really enjoy drinking at Clyde, I mean, I'm not. Yes, it does deserve to be in the top 10 list. I would probably order it a little. I'd probably render it towards the bottom. If I was going to put these in an order, it'd be towards the bottom end. You know, the menu doesn't change over like I think of like a straight up cocktail bar would be.
Sure.
And they're not trying to be that.
Right.
I mean, they quintessentially are a hotel bar, first and foremost. Nobody realizes that, the Ace Hotel. But it's a restaurant bar, hotel bar. But you know,
but the bar program is heightened a bit.
It's the focus, yes.
Yeah. A name that I'm surprised to see on this list is Helly Paley.
Why?
Which is on Northeast Broadway and 27th. It's a tiki bar.
So what?
I don't know. For me, that has a...
Don't diss the tiki, brother. Don't diss the tiki.
Their signature drink is it's called the Zombie.
Classic tiki drink.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, what's in the Zombie? It says it does have some grapefruit and cinnamon, but I assume some rum. It's probably rum-based.
A zombie traditionally has three different rums.
Okay.
So a lot of tiki is blending of different rums.
Okay.
So you're going to have like sweeter rums and overproof rums and then drier rums, more floral rums. And you're trying to get this like, because you can't get all of them in one rum, you're trying to create this perfect rum blend. Helly Paley, owned by Blair Reynolds, purveyor of... B.G. Reynolds line of tiki syrups, and they're really, really good. Probably some of the best in the industry. Also some of the best value. I mean, there's some other syrups out there that are a little better, but they're like twice as much for half the amount. Like, so you just can't work with them in a real bar. But his, like, you know,
because it works. Yeah,
you can make it work, and he's doing it. He's leading the charge. Like, and it's everyone in this industry, even if you're not making tiki drinks, a lot of the syrups like transfer out of tiki. As an industry countrywide, we owe him a thank you for doing what he's doing, because without his orgeat, or without his, you know, Don Spice number two, there'd be drinks that I can't make. It'd be impossible. And they're delicious, and so everyone that drinks them owes, not me. It's not me that I created the drink, but I wouldn't be able to do it without Blair. Wow. And so it's a community. Like, we all build upon what each other are doing. And like, when somebody circles back from bartending and creates a product that then we all use industry wide, he's affecting more people and advancing the craft more than just me singing drinks every night.
Well, I stand corrected on the jalapeno.
But there's, when you're doing tiki correctly, yeah, it's wonderful.
Right on.
Now, they are a big sledgehammer of citrus and sugar and rum and, like, you know. But you know that going in. Like, if you have four zombies at, well, I'm not sure they'll serve you four, but, you know, you're going to wake up with a hangover tomorrow because you got really drunk. You know?
Like, that may be a way to go.
Yeah.
Like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thePDXBeat. Find us on Twitter as @thePDXBeat. Email us at thePDXBeat@gmail.com. And check out our website at www.thePDXBeat.com. One of my favorite bars that appeared on the list is Cask, which is located on Southwest 12th and Alder in downtown Portland. My banter buddy Nick didn't agree with it being among the top 10 cocktail bars in Portland, citing its tiny interior and lack of appropriate seating among its main drawbacks. Plus, he says, the drinks are slightly overpriced, which is true, but if you know that going in, I personally think you will have a great time. In fact, when a couple of friends from out of town visited me a year ago and they asked me to take them to a cocktail bar that I would highly recommend, I took them to Cask, and thankfully, their assessment of it was the same as mine, if not better.
I think you've spoken very highly of another one that's on this list. It's the Rookery at the Raven and Rose.
Absolutely. You know, I know a lot of people that have worked their way through that bar. It's probably the most beautiful space.
It's located on 13th and Southwest Broadway.
Yeah, literally no money was spared. And the one knock, like, being of my political leanings, a little perturbed that how much public money that you don't realize went into a private business.
What?
Okay, so, I mean, backpedal a little bit. They got some undisclosed, I'm sure you can figure it out, it's public knowledge. I don't know it. But there was a considerable amount of PDC money, which is committed. It was a rehabbing of a historic building, but okay, to be turned into a private business.
Okay.
You know, there's some things, but like, public money went into it now. So, I mean,
well, there's also a hotel here in Portland that benefited from that.
I got lots
scenario.
I'd have the same issue, but it is beautiful. They do make a lot of great drinks.
Their signature drink, again, this is from summer of last year. They just said it's just get a selection from a handful of single barrel spirits that are handpicked and bottled specifically for that bar.
Yeah, I mean, so the luxury we have in Oregon of working under a control state and the OLCC, being the, you know, the toll bearer, basically, of all spirits is that we can hand select barrels from different distillers and not have to buy it. We can allot the entire barrel. Now, they have to make it available for sale, but they don't have to shelve it anywhere. It can be special order. But we can call, say, Buffalo Trace and say, I want an entire barrel of... and go pick it out.
Okay.
And have it bottled and shipped. And we don't have to buy... we can buy one bottle and put it on the shelf. And then it will sit in the OLCC warehouse with our name on it and our special label. It's, you know... And that's what they've done with a lot of spirits. And so they're using the OLCC to carry their inventory, and it's really genius.
That's interesting.
But it's I really like it. It's very unique. I'm really hoping, and the reason I mention that is I really want other people to realize you can do that. That you can pick out a barrel from, you know, there's distributors and reps in town. Work with them. Like get a barrel of Eagle Rare or something, and like have your own specific thing, because it really is, it shows that you care and like you're doing something different, and you have your own thing that nobody else has. But yeah, so they do that. You know, they tend to have a really good tap selection. Food's pretty good. I got nothing bad to say about the Rookery,
right on.
And also also Raven and Rose as a restaurant.
The next one I want to talk about is very much a favorite of another contributor to the show, Deal Builders, Jennifer Heigl, is the Rum Club,
okay,
which is located on 720 yes. Southeast Sandy, Central East Side. Been there for at least 4 years, 4 or 5 years maybe. Their signature drink is the Rum Club Daiquiri. And again, this is from the summer of 2014.
Well, they can still make that.
All right. Thoughts on the Rum Club?
Top three cocktail bars in Portland. Absolutely. It's new, like you said, 4 or 5 years. But you walk in and it feels like it's been there for 20.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a very unique shaped space. It's very like truncated triangle kind of. And the owner, Mike Shea, built the bar to fit the room.
Yeah.
Not the bar he wanted to build. And, you know, as a professional myself, I sit at the bar and realize like how inefficient the space is based on the way the bar is shaped. And like, it's kind of odd in certain spots, but it totally works in a different spot. Like, it's really weird. There's like one part of the bar, one well that really works well, and the other one is totally non-functional.
Right, right.
To me, anyway. It's like, I'm sure they've all figured it out how to make it work, but...
Are you talking about like the part that's by the pickup window?
Yes. You know, very, very low slung, warm, inviting. You can just sit there for hours. And they've cultivated a clientele that gets it. And it's fun to sit in a crowd of... Sometimes there's a considerable industry component to it, but like a lot of times it's not. It's just really people that are into what the Rum Club is doing. And there's... I've never seen one instance of a guest behaving badly or entitled or anything at Rum Club. There's just something about the space that settles people or only attracts people that, you know, when they're busy, like, okay, might take 5 minutes to get a drink order placed and then maybe 10 more minutes to get it made. It's busy.
Yeah.
You know, and there's most, the general public doesn't get that a lot, doesn't understand it. You know, they want what they want when they want it. And that's the thing we bear in this industry, is we've got to somehow try to do it.
What I like about the Rum Club, from an atmosphere standpoint, is that it feels like a neighborhood bar to me, you know, in as much as it is a very specialized bar. Another bar that's on this list is Mint / 820 or 820.
820, I think, is
all
the
right.
Common parlance there.
It's located on North Russell, just very nearby the the White Eagle Tavern there.
Yeah, yeah. So Midnight 20 is kind of the bar that put, and I'm going to air quote this, you can't see it, but if I do it hard enough, maybe you can hear it, air quotes of cocktails, proper cocktails, on the map.
Oh.
Lucy Brennan, and we're talking 20 years ago, way, way, way ahead of her time, is doing drinks with fresh citrus. Now, you're sitting there listening to this right now and going, well, duh. But you have to go all the way back to the early 90s and go, it wasn't happening.
Right.
Not in Portland.
Right.
Not really anywhere.
Right.
You know, it was all pre-made Mrs. T's sweet and sour. And that's just what everyone got. Or Rose's Lime. It's bad. It was bad.
Right.
But sometimes you don't, there's a saying, like, you never notice the upgrade, but you always notice the downgrade. You know, as your quality of life and your situation improves, like, you keep upgrading. You know, let's take cars, for example, where you're driving a Hyundai and you get a better job and then you're Honda, and then pretty soon you're in a Mercedes, pretty soon you're, maybe you have, like, the S-Class.
Right.
Now, heavens forbid, that goes in the shop and they give you a Toyota to drive around. You're like, what the fuck just happened?
Right.
It's the same thing with drinks. Like, so, like, she brought it along, and then pretty soon people are like, oh, my God, that's what a fresh citrus drink tastes like. Hmm. Or that's what a Manhattan tastes like with really good vermouth that's not old and oxidized and bad. But to be honest, it's a time capsule of a place. It's, you can go drink there, and it is like drinking in 1995.
Okay.
But in the best version of 1995.
And I was going to say, maybe that's not really a bad thing.
No, I mean, and like her signature drink, the avocado daiquiri, is generally regarded as bad. It's just, I mean, and that's, and I'm really, I'm trying to say that in the nicest possible way. It's just not, it's just not a great drink anymore. And again, she's a victim of her own success. She created something and made something possible where hundreds of other people have taken up the charge and made things way better. And it's only bad by comparison. In 1995, right, probably the best thing you can taste. And now you're like, eh, you know? And that's, but we all owe her every time we see her, you know, a kiss on the cheek, like, thank you. Really.
She raised the bar, literally.
Yes.
Nick, thank you very much for talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to stalk Nick on Twitter, you will find him there as @ConOat. C-O-N-O-A-T. And that's our show this week. Our theme music is called Cataracts from local musician Sweet Nothing. One day I'll get him on the show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You will find it there under the PDX Beat. And check out the website for show notes and previous episodes. This has been an episode of the PDX Beat podcast. I'm Amado Lumba. Thanks for tuning in.